From the front lines, from the tailgates, representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Alongside my Bleed Blue partner in crime in prison, we are joined by New York Yankees Talk, the Yankees podcast, The Dugout. The Yankees headed to the West Coast. I would say it was a pretty good week versus those AL Central teams. You can download episodes on BleedBlueShow.com/podcast, iTunes Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Chris, Kenny D, what's going on, gentlemen? How's everything?
Hey, man. Everything's bright, man. Everything's bright. I had to, you know, I'm not going to miss this show for the world, bro. When it comes to anything pinstripes or blue, I am there. I am there. How you doing, Kenny D?
All good. You know, the Yanks are winning like they're winning right now. It's a good time to be a Yankee fan. So everything's
right
good
now.
Here.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Good.
We'll get to the Yankees. We'll get to the Yankees week this past week. How they're going to expect or fare at Arizona, at Oakland this week, and then also the past episodes on the Bleed Blue Show. Check out the New York Football Giants roundtable episode on BleedBlueShow.com. And also over the weekend, Chris and myself, we interviewed Rocco Constantino on his upcoming book, 50 Moments That Define Baseball History. Check that episode out, BleedBlueShow.com, iTunes Podcast Republic, tuning your Stitcher apps. It's a great in-depth historical perspective from Chris, myself, and Rocco on his upcoming book. You get the book on Amazon.com, 50 Moments That Define Major League Baseball. That's Rocco Constantino's 50 Moments That Define Major League Baseball. Good history on that. Where do we go with this, guys? I mean, this is what was expected, right? The bullpen comes through, whether it's the seventh inning, the sixth inning. Kenny,
DMC.
There it is. There it is. Now, you got to be ecstatic. You got to be ecstatic the way this thing has panned out. I mean, this was expected. Let's get the first thing out of it. This was expected. Is the way we close out the games. As long as we hang around and as long as the starter pitchers do their job, get us through five. Mm-hmm. And pretty much the last several days has kind of been the case. Kenny, what's your thoughts on that?
You know, this is the way we really expected this team to perform from day one. You know, scoring some runs. Good pitching, nothing spectacular, but you know, getting you 5-6 innings out of the starter. The greatest thing to take out of this last week has been, you know, that Francis Miller and Chapman. We finally got to see the three of those guys in order, see what they can do, and they've helped secure two wins in a row yesterday and the day before against the White Sox. And that was just fun to watch.
It was. I loved it. You know what? And I also love the fact I saw the Saturday game. I like the fact that Nova looked strong. That surprised me a little bit. I'm sorry to say it that way, but I really, really loved the way he looked. You know, because there's something about and Kenny, you alluded to this one time, man, on New York Yankees Talk, man, about the fact that he can be shaky. And he's not giving, and I'm paraphrasing you, that sometimes he doesn't give you his all. And he looked good to me. And I appreciated that. But, you know, you put that against add the bullpen to that. Man, it just makes you feel real good that you got something to look forward to every game from a status viewpoint as far as our bullpen is concerned. I think we looked great. And I knew that would save us, but in this month alone. So hey man, I'm excited, man. I really like what I saw. Steve.
I want to skip myself. I want to go back to Kenny because you mentioned Ivan Nova a little earlier than I expected. So Kenny, you're the Ivan Nova killer. Chris alluded to it. He pitched well on Saturday. Can you give us your honest thoughts from the with the straitjacket on from Saturday? I know you were ready to go crazy. You can't stand the guy, but you got to give him credit.
It's no secret that I do not like Ivan Nova. But
I was trying to put it nicely too.
That doesn't mean that I'm gonna root against him when
I know that.
You know, with CC out, and now with Severino out, he's the guy that he's really one of the only guys you can pencil into that rotation. We have
right.
no other option, so I'm gonna root for him just like I would root for any other Yankee starter. And like Chris said, he's pitched well on Saturday. He gave up that one run. There was that shot to Todd Frazier. He left up in the zone.
Right. Right.
But he pitched well. You know, he gave us 5 2/3, which is just what you're looking
mm-hmm.
for out of our starters, and really contributed to that win, which is a very close win against Jose Quintana. You know, you're going to need a strong start when you're facing a strong starter. So, yeah, that was good to see. I'm pleased with the way he's pitching right now. Maybe he's changed a little bit. You know, I'm not saying I'm going to become an Ivan Nova fan, but I might not dislike him as much.
Yeah, we were just
Kenny, that
sticker
looked good. That sticker looked good. That sticker paw he has. Oh.
Yeah,
he's
throwing that a lot.
Oh, he's dynamite. Okay, Steve, sorry.
Oh, well, I guess I want to go back because the way that Nova kept us through the halfway through the game, or more than halfway through the game versus Quintana, and then I want to go back to the Betances, Miller, and Chapman.
Yeah.
You know, the way we closed out the game specifically on Saturday. How often, what's the success rate is this going to be after actually seeing it live, Kenny, and then I want to go to Chris as far as your probability. If we had to see the situation 10 times, I mean, it's always going to be different variables when you're playing different lineups. But because the White Sox are playing well. This is why I'm a little bit more giddy about coming off this weekend than maybe other weekends thus far, because who is who we beat and how well they were playing. And also being the world champs 3 out of 4. But is this really mail in the bag with these three guys as far as closing out games for the most part? Or how you look at this after actually seeing this?
So, yeah, it's not going to be perfect every time. When we saw it yesterday, Patantis gave up that run in the second inning.
Right.
It came back to, what was it, Beltran ended up putting us ahead, or I guess it was Chedley with the double, right? That.
Yeah,
for the second time, right?
So
they're not going to be perfect every time like they were on Saturday. But, you know, I bet 9 out of 10 times, at the very least, we're going to be just nailing the coffin, shutting down offenses. You know, they have some of the best stuff in baseball, hands down.
Easily.
It's really tough to hit. So, you know, you saw Jose Abreu get that little cheap hit off the Kansas, and it just kind of...
Right.
Then you saw him, after giving up a run, you got first and third, no one out, 3 quick outs, inning over. That was yesterday. So he's capable of doing that at the start of an inning, clearly. 9 out of 10 times, that's going to be working. Just game over.
All right. Man, I tell you, I saw the stat sheet about – you were talking about Saturday, Steve.
Yes.
Dunn BMC, they struck out 8 batters and allowed 1 hit, okay, and 3 1/3. You always like me to talk about historical perspective. Well, I'm going to give you one. And it never gets talked about because the 98 Yankees were so dominant. The teams just shook as soon as those pinstripes walked in. But I remember – you know, they talked about everything under the sun, but they never talked about that bullpen of Mariano, Mike Stanton, and Jeff Nelson.
Oh yeah,
they were lights out, and it was those three all the time. The first two, Stanton and Nelson, they must have combined for at least 12 saves that year. I don't know. I don't have the stats in front of me, but something like that, because everybody knows Mo Rivera was lights out. And it was an MVP candidate, as a matter of fact. But, you know, they had Ramiro Mendoza back there with him, and they had do you remember Graham Lloyd, the lefty?
Yeah, the southpaw,
like,
of course.
The southpaw, yeah. These guys were all in the Yankee bullpen, and you couldn't hit these dudes. You couldn't hit them. Forget the starters. You couldn't hit these guys. And I thought I'd never see that again. This trio here has everybody buzzing, everybody excited. Everybody really hopeful. I'm not look, I know we appear on paper to be four games under 500. It's not going to stay like this very long. You know that. And one of the reasons it's not is because this bullpen here, I'm sorry, they're going to be what you saw this weekend is going to be repeated at least 30 times this year. It's awesome, man. And I think I really, really like the feel now, the confidence that the team has because of these additions. So I'm really happy. I'm really happy.
Well, let me ask you this. On that bullpen versus what we have this year, I know it's really too early to really compare. It's probably not fair to those mid-90s teams, but I would say they were deeper. They had more arms, quality arms, and finish you off with Rivera, where I think the back three of what we have now is probably stronger than the back three then. Although it's really hard, it's really hard to compare because we're talking about Mo Rivera though. See, that's another conversation in itself. it's a good way to look at it. Because you had Lloyd, like you said, you could go lefty, righty, lefty.
Yeah,
Stanton. Yep. You could go Graham Lloyd. Jeff Nelson, who's a sidearm, who was like submarine pitcher type of deal.
Yes, he was.
You have different kind of arsenals, and they were all accurate, because especially when I think Jeff Nelson came from Seattle at that point. But
he did.
Wow, that's a good – that might be up for debate. Because,
We don't remember them because look at your starters. You know, David Wells, Andy Pettis, El Duque.
Depends who. I mean, the Yankee fan will remember. I think Yankee fans remember.
David Cone. That's right. Forgot about David Cone.
But if you're talking about probably the general casual fan, I wouldn't expect him to know that. But I expect the Yankee fan who's been rooting, you know, around that time to remember those guys. Of course, I wouldn't think they wouldn't. But
that was really good.
But this back three is as good as it gets, though.
Oh yes, indeed.
Because if you could get one and two thirds or two innings out of Betances, as you kind of got on Saturday, I think that was Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he came in for Nova on that. And
then
you got Miller coming in. This is tough to hit, man. I don't know how you hit. And then you're throwing gas. You're throwing really pretty much propane.
Yes.
99, 100, 101, 102. That's a lot. That's a lot. Kenny, I'm going to go back to you as far as the guys other than – I thought Evaldi had an under-the-radar outing this past week on Thursday. What was your thoughts on Evaldi on Thursday versus the Royals? Going up against Ian Kennedy, another former Yankee, what's your thoughts on that?
Catch all that game, but I didn't see the highlights. And Evaldi, he's one of those guys that – he just needs to control his pitches. He's got overpowering stuff he's on, but when he starts to look shaky when, you know, he's missing his spots. He leaves those splitters up in the zone. He leaves fastballs over the plate. That's something we've seen with Severino, kind of on a different note. He was able to give the Yankees what they needed in that game. The Yankees got to Kennedy early and often. Kind of built up a solid lead. He didn't go eight innings like he has in the past, but he gave you five, and then the bullpen took care of the rest, and that was really all he needed to do, considering the way the offense performed that game.
I was doing another Big Blue podcast, Steve. I really missed it. I didn't see the mechanics.
Oh, man.
I saw the highlights, but I don't really – I know we talked about this off air one time, Steve, but recently. But I'm the kind of guy that I can watch the highlights all day long, but I want to see how things develop, so I can give you a real good assessment in terms of why the situations on base or a certain pitcher's product or whatever. I would like to. So I didn't see the game, but the assessment that you just gave Kenny about Evaldi, I always felt that kind of way about him. What I want to know is why do they score for him as well?
You took the words out of my mouth.
I'm grateful and happy, but they score for him.
They sure did.
They hit
well.
They really do.
I think it was Chase Healy who hit that down the corner opposite field home run versus Kennedy. It was a nice piece of hitting. I don't know if y'all guys saw that. He drove that thing down the left field line. And
I saw the replay.
Went about seven rows behind that 318 feet sign down left field wall.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm glad you said that because that's the case with Evaldi. He'll get the run support. And they did that night. I mean, they hit well. Castro hit a bomb, I think, that night. Didi hit well. It was guys that actually we've been calling to actually step up a little something, actually played well far as batting. But what really was spectacular in that series is the range of the gloves. Like Castro's glove at second base. I think when Betances had came in. Making nice plays, dives, and throwing out the runner at first. And Didi, it's really the defense in the infield that's really, I think, is very underrated. Doesn't get as much props as I think it should because a lot of things that could be singles or infield singles, these are guys are with range and enough arm power to get guys out. And they're putting and they're hitting the ball well. We knew what Castro did earlier this year, and he hit the ball well in the Royals series. And Didi is kind of showing a little bit of flashes here and there between the Royals and the White Sox series as well. But as far as Evaldi, I thought he did a good. He pitched better than Kennedy. That's all we ask. As long as we get it to that middle bullpen and move it down the line, and we get the save. Because I know Shreve came in. To finish off the job, it was in Chapman that night. It was Shreve that did that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy, man. Because here's the thing, man. I said last week, Kenny, and I said last week, Chris, that I was kind of tight that some of these games we left out there. But we took two out of three. We wanted to sweep. It's time to climb back into the race, man. It's time to climb back in the race. And the last thing I want or expect is the Yankees to fall out of the race later on, let's say July, and they're not within striking distance of the division. They got to trade Miller or Betances. I don't want to see that situation if things go south. But, Kenny, what are the things this week in general? The games played, I thought the 3 out of 4 wins versus the Royals. Was especially Thursday's game was my favorite game of the week, knowing that we could have split the series and it would have pissed me off. But the fact that we took 3 out of 4 versus defending champs, I know they played well or haven't played as well as people thought they would. But still, three out of four versus the Royals is pretty good, a good team, a sound team. What's your thoughts?
You know, big picture, it's good to see the team playing better. You know, they're scoring more runs. You just said that the winning series, that you're 2 out of 3 from Boston, 3 out of 4 from Kansas City, and then 2 out of 3 from, you know, the tough White Sox team. But I think the key thing to focus on is the hitting of two guys, and that's Chase Headley and Aaron Hicks, two guys that really struggled in the early going, but are going to need to contribute if we're going to have a winning ball club. You know, you said it, Headley hit his first home run last against the Royals. Then he hit another one on Friday. Then was it last night he hit that pinch hit double the gap?
Double.
This is what you want to see. He's really turning it around. He looks like he's shooting the ball better. He's swinging the bat better, making more aggressive swings. And that's going to be a difference maker. You know, if you can really rely on him more so. You know, I don't want to see him batting ninth. You know, I want to see him being a productive member of this lineup, batting sixth. A guy that the pitchers actually have to worry about in the lineup. So that's number one. Aaron Hicks is that other guy. He's a guy that has a lot of natural talent. He's got a ton of power. You can just tell. His swing is really strong. But we couldn't see it in the beginning of the year. He was hitting under 100. But I was at a game last Wednesday, the game they lost to the Royals. I was sitting out in left field, and I got to see Aaron Hicks go 3 for 4 with three solid line drives. We've seen the ball better as well, which is it's just good to see. And then, you know, with A-Rod out, he's playing every day. Maybe that's why he's hitting better, or maybe it's just it's a good thing that he is hitting better because he's playing a lot now. Now with them in Arizona this weekend, you know, without the DH, he may or may not get to hit. We'll see. I think he's in the lineup tonight. But it's, you know, those guys are going to have to contribute if we're going to have a winning team. And it looks like they're starting to turn it around a little bit.
I have a question. What do you guys think of Beltran? You know, he hit the number 400 yesterday, which I didn't know
was
that close.
Yeah, it was a roll.
You know, and that's quite of an achievement, man. That's quite an achievement, considering he moved around a bit in his career. But do you think something like this will, you know, I mean, he's already been somewhat consistent. I'll just say somewhat. But now, you know, when you do traditionally, when someone hits a milestone like that, man, they normally just kind of take off. You don't have a pretty decent season. I'm not saying, you know, 150 RBI type season necessarily, but, you know, in pinstripes, you do well. You do well. You kind of maintain that that kind of pace. Do you see that happening?
Go ahead, Kenny, and I'll answer after that.
Yeah, sorry.
You don't
want to. Yeah, I just think Beltran looks good so far this year. I think he benefits from being the DH. Just like A-Rod benefits from being the DH, the older guys, you know, it's tough for them to play the field and a hit. It's tiring, I guess. So with A-Rod out, he's had an opportunity to, you know, just focus on his hitting, and he seems to be getting the job done. As far as this hitting his 400th home run, you know, propelling his season, I'm not so sure. That's a good. I'd like to see that happen for sure. But I think he'll be an important member of this lineup.
Right.
You know, maybe he'll hit 25 home runs, drive in 80 runs, which is that's about all you can expect. But I think that would be a huge help if this team's going to make the playoffs.
The question you said you think it propels him. I think Beltran is professional enough to really make a contribution to this team. Now, normally, if you were a slugger and you were an ace, he's not a slugger. He has 400 homers, but he's more of a professional hitter. He has a good form. He puts the bat on the ball very well. He's just a professional, meaning, like, he comes to the park. He's not all about the headlines and flash. He just comes out and play, and that's just the way he rolls. Expect him to – even last year, there were stretches with Beltran where he actually hit well. I think he continues that. I think he'll be fine. He's a guy in the lineup where if we need a big hit, sometimes he may not deliver, but I think other times he definitely will, because he's not the one who's going to always try to aim for the fence. He could hit you. He gets you doubles. He could, you know, obviously, you know, whatever side you want to hit him from, but also he's a decent glove out there in right. Of course, he's older. He's not going to be all world speed like other two guys out in left and center, but he's definitely serviceable. I actually, when I look at the Yankees lineup, especially in spring training, like, I didn't really worry or have any doubts about Beltran. Not even necessarily his durability per se. I just know that his history, like, you know, his days at KC, at Houston, the Mets. He's a guy that just puts on his helmet and is just ready to play. But here's the question: do you think he makes the Hall of Fame, Chris?
Well,
I don't think so.
He's borderline, but he's got some things working for him. Like, for instance, switch hitters just don't do this. I mean, 400 home runs. I mean, Mantle
was one. That's another thing. A switch-hitted 400 home runs. That's a good point.
Yeah. Mantle was one. I think Eddie Murray did it, the third person.
And Chipper Jones.
But I know he's the fourth.
Chipper Jones is
Chipper
guy.
Jones, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and that doesn't happen very often. And the reason I brought it up, let me just say this before I answer your question. The reason I brought it up is that I was looking the entire season for Mark Teixeira to go ahead and get that 400, and all of a sudden Beltran got it yesterday. And I went, wait a minute, I didn't even know he's that close. So,
I didn't realize it either.
Teixeira is like two or three away from it. So,
he's 397 right now, so he's three away.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, his name will come up. He will not be a first ballot. No, Steve. I will give him a healthy second ballot chance, depending on who retires with him.
Yeah, he doesn't have he doesn't have an MVP though.
No,
he's
never
got a rookie of the year.
He's never got a ring though.
Right, he's got a rookie of the year. I think he's been All-Star about maybe 8 times. I think maybe a couple of Golden Globes. If he gets a Golden Globe, that'll shock me. No, but he's a borderline second ballot guy. That's what I'm looking at for him. First ballot's out of the question. No, he's not.
Nah,
he's not.
Nah.
He's not a shoo-in. Not at all.
Nah.
Oh yes, and also he's a 400. He's got 300 steals, so he's a 400 home run, 300 steals kind of guy. And those guys get in. You know, that's a good resume. You talk about Willie Mays and A-Rod, as a matter of fact, has that. You know, Barry Bonds has that. Andre Dawson, I think, was the other guy. So, yeah, you know, he's got some cred, but what's going
to
hurt
him? And he's not also probably not linked to the steroids and the – all the other crap.
True.
That really hindered all these guys who could have got in.
That's right.
Kenny, you was saying
that's
something.
Right.
Go ahead.
He's one of those guys that, and you said it, Christian, is real close. And the thing I look at with Carlos Beltran is his longevity. You know, it takes something to play baseball for 19, 20 years. This is his 19th year in the league. Playing at an elite level. For all those years. He's not the greatest, most spectacular player of all time. He didn't hit 500 home runs. He did 400. You know, he didn't hit 300.
Right.
He hit 280 for his career. But he's got those gold gloves. He's got the All-Star games. He's got the ring. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I was talking to my dad about this like just a week ago, and his first instinct was no chance. But when you look at his stats, they don't pop out to you right away. But it's just that consistency across the board. He had the speed of his, when he was a lot younger. He was a great outfielder. I think sports writers, the guys that vote on the Hall of Fame, value stuff like that. And he's going to be right there. He's going to be tough to knock off the ballot. Because a lot of guys see what he brought to the game. And like you said, Steve, he's not connected to the PEDs like a lot of guys that played in his era.
And I think those writers that vote these guys in, he's liked. I don't think they look at him as a villain. I think that helps a lot. That's a little intangible that helps out these guys. So, I think eventually he may get in. It's close. I would like you, Chris. I don't think it's first ballot, but you, like to Kenny's point, the longevity, the way he carries himself. He's had big hits in the postseason. I just don't recall him.
Oh
having
hell yeah,
hits.
He has. He's one of the greatest postseason hitters of all time.
Yeah, he killed the Braves 1 year. I remember that.
Go back to the 0-4 with Houston. He had 8 home runs in that postseason. He didn't even go to the World Series.
Yeah. Before I go on, because I have other questions on the Yankees, might as well ask the infamous Knickerbocker Av your source for the streets of our New York Knicks. Av, is Carlos Beltran a Hall of Famer?
Damn, that's a tough question. I can't even say good evening or anything.
by the way, good evening. I'm sorry about that.
Good evening, guys. You know what? He is a Hall of Famer in my book. For the very reason that Kenny just alluded to, he's not, in comparison to the postseason performers of this era, not being associated with PEDs, with any other now domestic violence or any kind of, scandalous issues. He's been very well liked by the media, beat writers, and of course, he's extremely liked and beloved, with the Latin American contingent.
That's right.
I would say he is definitely a Hall of Famer. First ballot, it might be a stretch, but definitely a Hall of Famer in my book. I don't see why he can't be like in the second or third round, the third go around. unless somebody much bigger comes along. You know, like if he was if you're comparing him to Jeter or something or Rivera, of course, yeah. But I mean, anybody else? I think if you have to put him against somebody like Ortiz or Ramirez or even Martinez, sometimes, you know, guys like that, you make a strong argument that maybe he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame as opposed to especially Ortiz or Ramirez, who, you know, who have the PED history.
Right.
Yeah. There's nothing to add to that. We were saying, matter of fact, Ab, before we move on, I might as well get your opinion on what you saw over with, I guess, Chris, what's the nickname for these guys? The back of the bullpen? You said Run DMC?
It's No Run DMC.
No Run.
Wow. No Run DMC. That's what Jack Curry's calling him on the Yes Network.
Nice.
No Run.
It's great.
Well, the Tez has given up runs. He's giving up.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. They give up all of, yeah.
You know, so I mean, you have to put it like this: the fact that we had that three-headed monster in the back end is pretty much our saving grace. Because aside from that, I mean, yeah, the offense finally picked up. You know, when the Red Sox came to town, but I'm looking at our young Dominican pitchers, and I'm scratching my head as to what happened. Severino and Pineda,
wow,
both to me, I'm at my wit's end with Pineda, really, dude. I'm at my wit's end, really. I'm all really just like, you know what, let's do something to get rid of him, because if he can't have a clean first and second inning, I mean, it's just that. I mean, aside from that, he's, you know, he's a decent pitcher for the first and second inning. Come on, jeez.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. But I digress.
Wow. He's tight. He's tight about that.
Especially, you know, me being Dominican myself. So it hurts me to my core when my fellow, you know, mi pana is going out there, you know, representing our Yanks, representing our country, and they can't get out of the first inning without giving up a home run. And not to mention, Tanaka last night was not at his best. And he hasn't been at his best. He hasn't been as sharp as I would like him to be. I mean, the first couple outings he was okay, but yesterday was really shaky to me. I don't know what you guys thought.
Are we going in any particular order here, or are you just?
No, you can go first if you like. Sure.
Yesterday you're talking about. You know, I said, you know what, Knickerbocker Av, I said to myself before I came on, I'm going to be really kind and not try to say anything, you know, because I'm liking the way the Yankees have of late, you know, come alive. Look, I'm glad our bullpen is what it is, okay? I'm glad that Giraldi has a plan in terms of what we're going to do the last three to four innings of a game. But I'm going to say this as nice as I can. I really, really hope that it does stay that way, that Dunn BMC pitches at least four innings a game. Okay, if he starts stretching out Sparky Anderson style to, you know, one of these guys coming in, Betances coming in the third inning and getting two outs and that kind of thing, we're going to be in trouble. Okay, but I'm trying not to jinx it right now because I'm liking what I see. But yeah, you have a point, man. You have a point. It's anytime someone in pinstripes can't finish a damn game, man, or starts off shaky like that. I'm going all the way back to Ron Guidry when I say that. It does shake you up. So yeah, I know what you're saying, man. But I'm trying to keep the positive head here. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Kenny.
I'm good. It's okay.
Yeah. You're right, though. He's right. He's absolutely right.
Yeah. He has a point, dude.
Good point.
You just got to wish for the best. Yeah, you got to wish for the best. Now, okay, let me ask you this. What about the status of Severino as far as his health? How you feel? Matter of fact, what are the fans on New York Yankees talk? What are they saying about Severino as well?
Severino lost quite a few fans with his poor performance so far this year. if you ask me, he was never meant to be in the major leagues at this point. They brought him up last year when Cashman and the front office failed to do anything at the deadline and felt like probably felt like they needed to do something just to appease the fan base. So they brought up Severino, and he actually pitched probably better than they expected him to. But these are major league hitters, and no matter how hard you throw as a starter, if you throw it over the middle of the plate, they're going to hit it. And he struggles with his command. He's not hitting his target. He's leaving his slider just kind of like up there somewhere, belt high. It's all on that same level plane. And guys are going to hit that. Again, these are major league hitters. And now he's on the DL. And if CC comes back and continues to perform like he was before he injured his groin, and Ivan Nova continues to pitch the way he's pitching right now, even when he comes off that deal, there might not be a spot for him in the rotation. Because there's no reason to hang on to a guy that can't get out, that can't win games. The same thing goes for Michael Pineda, who's real struggling right now. So we'll have to see. Maybe he'll turn it around, but maybe it's time for him to go back to the minors at the same time.
Wow. You might be right. They rushed him out there. He was never ready. He had deer in the headlight looks the entire last season. I thought he'd get better, but he had good stuff, so I thought that maybe this year he'd, with the long spring training and the right direction under Rothschild and company, that he can probably get it together, but it's just not there. And I think it's a couple of things with him. It's not only his confidence, but it's also his mechanics a little bit, when you have a mild strain, they call it a mild, but if you strain your triceps, you're doing something wrong and you're not getting the right direction. So, he's on 15-day, and when he's through with that, I agree with Kenny. He has to go downstairs. He's just gonna have to do it. He's not ready for the major leagues right now at this point, Steve or Av.
I think I've convinced us on that, man. I think he was on to something when he brought that up initially. I was kind of a Severino supporter, maybe more than I should have. But every day, every outing is kind of proving Av right when he says that, as far as maybe rushing him a little fast, a little too long. But that kind of goes into what we're going to say about tonight's start. At Arizona.
Yes.
Because Kenny, and then I'm going to go to Chris. I mean, go to Av and then go to Chris. Because we're bringing over Chad Green, who came over for that Justin Wilson trade in the offseason. So... Kenny, what are we going to expect from Chad Green? Because we know when he was pitching for the Tigers, he has a decent slider, sinker, and he's been trying to work on a splitter. But if Arizona, who's been playing okay this year, all right, now they play in that park where they you could hit well in that park. If he keeps the ball up, we're going to get killed tonight. I'm telling you that right now. But what are your expectations on Chad Green tonight coming over from that trade with Justin Wilson, Detroit? And also, what are the Yankee fans' expectations for Chad Green?
It's really tough to say because I think this is going to be his major league debut. Am I right?
I think it is.
Mm-hmm. So, it's tough really to know what you're going to get when you're looking at a guy who's only pitched in the minors. But so far this year, he's really dominated. I'm looking at the stats right now. He's pitched to a 1.22 ERA, held opposing batters to a 2.15 average. He strikes out a lot of guys. He struck out 36 batters in 29 innings. No, 36 strikeouts in 37 innings. So that's not that great. Actually, it's pretty good. Best strikeout in an inning, which is pretty solid. He has not given up any home runs, which he just said, Steve, it could be a problem in Arizona. Doesn't walk too many guys. I'm hoping he can come out. I don't really know what he's got pitch-wise, so I'm excited to watch. Hopefully I'll be able to stay up and watch his start, but it gets pretty late when they're playing on the West Coast sometimes.
Yeah. the Diamondbacks just got swept this weekend at home by the Giants. So they're probably viewing this as a break, you know. As well, now we got this rookie pitcher. Well, let's reassert ourselves by smacking him all over our field. You know, and I know he thinks this is fun. He said something, there was a quote I read earlier about this may be fun or something like that. But he's got to be nervous. And he's going to Arizona where that field is like it's like hitting beach balls sometimes. You know, he doesn't own the batting glove, so this is going to be new to him too. He's going to have to do that.
Oh yeah.
So this will be interesting. But all I wish for him, and I'm pretty sure Giraldi feels the same way, is kid, hold on for 4.5 innings, 4 2/3 innings. You know, give us a good 65 pitches, maybe. Am I being a little bit?
That's a little low.
Here? I don't know.
That's a little low for me.
A little low. Okay. Okay. I was trying to push him a little bit. I'm a Yankee fan. And you know, keep the ball low. That's about it. I don't know. This is kind of weird for me, man, because, you know, this guy just came out of nowhere. I know that sending down, you know, with the recent injuries we've had with Severino and CeCe and all, the rotation's thrown out of whack. But this is also his chance, man. This is his chance to really shine. He's got the great Yankee name. You know, he looks like he's a right-hander.
Yeah.
Let's see what he got. Let's see what he got. What do you think, Al?
This could be a great proving point, you know, great debut, or it could be a disaster at the same time. Because as I was hearing Kenny just read those statistics, they're impressive for a minor league. But the strikeout strikeout per inning, that's to me, and that kind of tells me a little bit that, okay, maybe this guy's a contact hitter. And if he leaves that ball up, it's going to sail in that ballpark. But he could be, you know, he can probably have these Diamondbacks hitters guessing. They're all in the slump right now. You know, like you said, they were just swept by the Giants. So they could, you know, this could also be a great time for him to come up, you know, get some major league experience, have a good performance. He probably can go 5. And I'd say he should go, 75, 80 pitches. And then such from there. But, hey, it's pretty much touch and feel, touch and go now with the Yankees with this rotation, with all the injuries that we have right now. Because, I mean, think about it. You know, you're bringing up this kid, major league debut, big stage, playing for the Yankees, and, you know, the Yankees, you know, they're surging back up, you know, winning three consecutive series in a row, and, you know, this might be the time for him to come up. So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, I'm going to be up for it. I'm going to be up to see, you know, what this kid has, you know, to see if this fastball-slider combination does work, and we'll see how McCann calls the game.
I'm kind of curious of how he's going to fare versus the top of the lineup for the Diamondbacks. If you guys are familiar, if you watch any Diamondbacks baseball, I'll be honest. I probably watch one game a year for the Diamondbacks. I mean, I don't have the time, you know, just it's the Diamondbacks. I'm on the East. But the lead guy, the shortstop, he's a pretty good guy, Gene Segura, man. I think he's been in, like to Av's point, a lot of these guys have been in the hitting slump. I just hope with the Yankees going west and kind of off of a nice little 3 out of 4 versus the Royals, 2 out of 3 versus the White Sox, and as bad as what how Arizona has played, I don't want the Yankees to get comfortable. And I think Arizona, when anytime the Yankees come to town, teams are going to be like, okay, the Yankees are here. And I don't want a team like Arizona to get off the slide because of them, you know?
Right. You're absolutely right. Every time the Yankees go out to, you know, to Arizona or San Diego or L.A., you know, to play the Dodgers, those teams get, you know, those teams, those fans, the whole organization gets up because it's the Yankees. No matter what place the Yankees are in, it's still the Yankees. It's still the mystique and aura. It's still, you know, the biggest payroll in baseball, the superstars, of the postseason. And, you know, the guys, you know, get up for it. It should be – If you're a baseball fan, you know,
you know that when the Yankees come to town, it's a little bit more special. Whether you love them or hate them, it's a little bit more special. So, you know, this series is big for the Diamondbacks just as much as it is for the Yankees.
Especially that it's the Diamondbacks, and it's not. I'm not necessarily not Oakland or Seattle teams. We see them every year. A team we don't go out there often. I mean, I know we go to San Diego later this year. It's teams like that we don't play in their place too often. And let's be honest, man. You know, it's three games out of 162 for Arizona, but you know. They're going to probably play on the video boards what happened back in 2001, Luis Gonzalez. You know they're going to get up for that game and try to get at least two out of three versus – I mean, any series, teams are going to try to really take it. But they have a little history versus us, bad history for us. I think that's kind of the way I saw it or see it. But hopefully he has that sinker going, maybe finish guys off with a splitter. And on top of that, the lefty bats for Arizona does not get going versus Green. But you know what? I want to really switch things up. And I want to go to Kenny and then go back to Av and Chris. I got to get your take. I mean, we would not be the Bleed Blue Show, New York Yankees Talk, Knickerbocker Avenue. I got to get your perspective, your opinion. If it was A-Rod flipping the bat in the ALCS last year, right, or the division series, and then coming next year, we wait – the third game, and he gets beaned, and he slides into second, and the opposing infielder drops or tries to drop our slugger. How would you feel? So, Kenny, you already know what I'm alluding to with this.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on what happened in Texas? I thought this was really interesting, and I want to get your guys' opinion on this.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've watched a lot of analysis on this one moment. It's all they've been talking about on MLB Network for the last, like, 24 hours. Like, straight, it's all they've been talking about. I think it made sense for the Rangers, from a tactical standpoint, to wait until the very last at bat to hit Bautista. You know, that maybe he was in the back of his mind the whole time. I think he only hit, like, 170 in this last series in Texas. Maybe he was thinking he was going to get hit the whole time. Once you do get hit, that's what they're going to do, though. He's going to hit eventually, fine. Then he's going to slide in hard to second. Fine, that's going to happen, too. But Rougned and Odor didn't necessarily have to swing at him. Maybe he could have shoved a little bit, maybe. But he also went down low and tried to, like, hit him in the head with his throw to first, which I'm not a big fan of. But that's the way Rougned Odor plays. He's a very scrappy ball player. He plays hard. And if anything, it's good to see guys actually care about the game, it seems like. You know, a lot of times with these so-called brawls, guys come out, the bullpens jog in, and they kind of just stand around for a couple minutes, and then they retreat back to their benches. But it was good to see these guys actually care and, you know, mix it up a little bit. You know, I enjoyed that aspect of it, at least.
Okay.
Hold on, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. Well, I was just going to say I'm very curious as to what the suspension is going to be. Because if you're going to give the Cubs catcher 10 games for punching Brzezinski that time, what are you going to give Odor? I'm just curious. I don't know. I mean, and also Major League Baseball, and I do agree, Kenny, this was coming. You knew it was coming from last year. If we knew it was coming, the Major League officials had to know it too. Joe Torre had to know it too. Somebody knew this. And you have to be – I know they're not going to be conservative on this suspension, but they have to also, in their statement, when they release it, you know, they need to talk about how accountable they are for not warning these teams beforehand, you know, to how to conduct themselves. I mean, they do it to us, man, with the Red Sox and the Yankees. Well, they used to anyway. So I don't know. That's what I'm curious of. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead, Av.
what Kenny said, that, you know, it's good that these guys care and that they take this game personal, and you know, that, you know, that it's a camaraderie thing. It's defending yourself, defending your team, defending your pride and ego.
Right.
But at the same time, that is the most unprofessional and the most unsafe condition that you can ever put in the situation, because you have to look at it from the vantage point of, this is professional baseball. If this was, like, you know, schoolyard ball, stick ball, you know, out in the street, and you get into a fight like that over something this stupid, I mean, if this was an organized league, you know, like a little league, there'd be suspensions, there'd be fines, there'd be, you know, guys getting kicked out of the league. You get guys, mm-hmm. you know, that in some cases, you get guys that get arrested because
That's
of
right.
situations like this. And
right.
the fact of the matter is that, you know, yes, it is a game, and I understand it, that, you know, that sometimes, you know, your emotions get the better of you. But at the same time, if you can act, I mean, we always, you know, tell, you know, get crazy about players acting like kids having fun. Then when you take the fun out of it and you get that emotional and that and you get carried away like that, that to me shows that you have no common sense whatsoever. I mean, that's just, I mean, come on. These guys are grown men. They're,
you're talking
million,
about the fight itself, or like the
fight, I'm talking about the fight. I'm talking about the fight
yeah,
itself.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you there. That's
fight,
unnecessary. Yeah.
The fight itself, and then the little twerks where they were, you know, they're going for his head, and you know, and they were actually trying to hurt him. They were actually
yeah,
trying
I
to assault him.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel that, you know, that Major League Baseball has to, Joe Torre and the commissioner and everybody, they have to, you know, come down really strong. And I mean, if you can give a guy 50 games for PED, you know, and you can give Aroldis Chapman 39 games for something that didn't even happen on the field.
Right.
Here's something that was on net that's been played, just like Kenny said, because I'm on MLB Network, and they were just, when I turned it on, they were just talking about it.
Right.
So little kids are watching, you know, these two teams acting like idiots, setting forth a bad example. So in my opinion, if you can give all those, you can give Chapman 39 games for domestic violence, you can give anybody PEDs for 50 games, then something along those lines would warrant what just happened, you know, for the fight. So you know, Odor and Batista, both of them, I would say 39 to 40 games, maybe 50 games, you know, for suspension or something like that, plus fines and penalties and so forth. Because, I mean, come on. You know, it's a game. It's still a game.
All right.
And we're all grown-ups now. Come on, let's act like them.
I thought it was real interesting that the timing of it, because I totally forgot. Like, I knew they had a series, and I actually remember the bat flip in the playoffs this prior season, but
mm-hmm.
it didn't really occur to me that
it was cool, though.
They were plotting this to the third game. I know people had an issue with the timing, like why they didn't do it in the first game of the first series or the first game of the second series. They really waited to the very end. I thought that was really unique that they did it that way. Real interesting. Like, they kept it, they really plotted, and they did it with a guy who wasn't even on the team last year. They kind of said, hey, man, you know what, come earn your stripes if you want to stay on this team, backdoor deal type of thing. I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I'm looking at it objectively, like, wow, they did it like that. And as far as the fight, you know, it's not, and let's be honest, if you really look at the replay, it's not like Batista was standing there. He kind of went and reached as if he was going to swing first, but the older guy, I think he saw it and reacted and he had the quicker punch. Now, I'm not saying I agree or disagree. All I'm saying is Batista's not really innocent in all this, and I'm not talking about the bat flip part, the prior postseason. I'm saying more so the slide, you know, they kind of say, well, Major League Baseball, this is a little illegal to a degree. And I know the ball was almost thrown at his head. I look at the replay. Batista was going to swing at him. He just got caught first. So
yeah.
Are we saying the same thing if Odor never threw the punch? Because if you go back, it's not like Batista was not. He had his hands down. He was actually winding up to throw the punch. So I mean, as far as suspension and games, yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see Major League Baseball be consistent, because they've had the luxury to really capitalize off the Chapman suspension, because they saw what the NFL was going through with Hardy, Ray Rice, and they kind of took advantage of it because they didn't have to go through it like that. And to Az's point, it's not like he actually was committed or something off the field. They just took advantage of it and kind of. To me, Major League Baseball is a real big hypocrite, and we don't have enough time to really get into that. We kind of touched on it last year. They will suspend you for actually making money. For instance, like when you were hitting all these home runs, there was no suspension then. When everybody knew you were juicing in the late 90s and 2000s, but all of a sudden, now when the Congress questions you about it, now everything's come to light. Oh, now we'll suspend you and keep you out of the Hall of Fame. I think that's the issue I kind of have with the baseball. But that's probably another conversation we may have to discuss that's totally, totally away from the dugout and get into that. But, Kenny, could we get your final thoughts? The Yankees, any games over this upcoming week, and then how we can find all your articles and your content. And also we'll go to Ab and Chris and we'll wrap up.
Yes, you can check me out on New York Yankees Talk on Facebook. A lot of interesting conversations going on there. Final thoughts, we're four games below 500 right now. I'm looking for a quick sweep of the Diamondbacks to get us within one game.
Yes.
And then we can go from there. Once you get back to 500, then you can start making up ground on that playoff race, which is really where we want to be. So give it a few weeks, but I think we're going to be there pretty soon.
All right, New York Yankees talk. The infamous Knickerbocker asks, same thing, how we can find all your articles, your content on the social media, and your final thoughts too, sir.
At Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at Knickerbocker Ab. A great conversation going on with the rumors of the New York Knicks going on with the coaching search. But
I thought you was the rumor killer, though.
I am the rumor killer, but we have some confirmed reports. We have some confirmed reports that we're going to talk about tomorrow night on the Blues Day recap when we're talking about the NHL and NBA playoffs. Because that's
Wednesday. Wednesday.
We'll leave that for Wednesday. But final thoughts is that I'm hoping for the same thing. But I'm hoping for, two out of three or a sweep over the Diamondbacks and for the Yankees to get back into 500, get back into contention, kind of start letting the league know the Yankees are not rolling over, we're still alive. And if you feared us before, you still may want to continue to fear us because, we're still the Bronx Bombers. We're still the New York Yankees. We still rep this place. We all bleed blue, pinstripe blue, no matter what. And, just keep it going. Sign
that
food.
Yeah, I'm mad. Yeah, look, this is the first interleague series of the season for us, for the Yankees. And we haven't played the Diamondbacks probably in about 3 years, something like that. So this is – and now we got a rookie pitcher on the mountain making his major league debut out there in the desert. This is as good a time as any to really, really keep going forward and steamrolling teams. We got the dream bullpen in place. We've got some hitters. Some of our guys are really, really hot. Some of our guys are getting hot. Some of our guys can get hot. Let's just see what happens, man. We need to win this series right here. And once we do that, man, I'll feel pretty good about the entire episode. All right, Steve.
I would like to see how this thing goes on the road, too, in Arizona and in Oakland this week. We'll have something good to talk about because this is very key to how we're going to get back in this race. I'm not even looking at who's in first. I'm kind of like – looking, trying to build off consistency. Not only win a series, but to Kenny's point, I want to sweep
Boston.
These dudes, man. Yeah, I want to sweep these dudes. Now, I won't be mad with two out of three on this one because I gotta see what Green brings to the table. I gotta see what we do in a really tight spot. We may get that series or in Oakland. We shall see. We kind of owe Oakland too what they kind of did to us at home earlier this year. So I'm looking forward to that. But anyway. BleeBlueShow.com. You already know the podcast on iTunes, TuneIn Podcast Republic, Stitcher, and of course on the website BleeBlueShow.com/podcast. This is the Yankees podcast, the dugout. I mean, you're going to get a perspective from the infamous Knickerbocker Ab, New York Yankees talk, myself and Chris. This is how we do week in, week out. Probably the only premier podcast to do it the way we do it, man. Honestly,
that's really right. That's.
We're out of time. Sangre Azul, enjoy the games on the West Coast and don't fall asleep on the game.
Sangre Let's Azul. Go, Chad Green. Let's go,
Let's
Chad
go,
Green.
Chad. Yeah, there it is.
Let's go, Yankees.
Let's go, Yankees.